Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, it's me, Cam. The podcast will start after this short advert from this week's sponsor, which coincidentally happens to be me. Now, we don't get many chances to be part of something that will go down in history. Well, apart from Brexit, COVID and all the shit things. But I'm talking about something good, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Or getting a song called Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt to Christmas number one.
Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt.
All you have to do is download it from iTunes or Amazon between Friday the 18th of December and midnight on Christmas Eve. For all the details, please go to borisjohnson.info. That's www.borisjohnson.info. Plot spoiler, the info is he's a fucking cunt. Thanks very much for listening, and here's the podcast.
Recording. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
I'm alright. December 1980.
Christmassy, isn't it?
It's Christmas. John Lennon died.
Mew. Fucking vibe killer.
Well, we can talk Christmas.
Oh, it's going to be a bleak old hour, isn't it?
Well, I just thought, oh, so this is Christmas, and I just thought, well, he died, didn't he? And, yeah, favourite Lennon record?
Yeah, well, you know, I like just like starting over, but it's probably, Imagine's just fucking, can't beat it, can you?
Yeah, I like that. Have we discussed Lennon?
I don't think we have. I mean, lots of times down the pub and that, but I don't think we have really here.
Right. I really, really love Mind Games. I think that's good. And what's the other? I didn't mean to hurt you. Jealous Guy. God,
it's amazing. It's good, Jealous Guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember having an argument with you once. You know, one of these pointless arguments where you take a standpoint and then just have to stick by it.
Did you say
Roxy Music's...
Such a load of shit. Do you know what? Is that going to be the same as when I said that Crowded House were better than the Smiths?
I'm glad you fucking brought that. I've been trying to bring that up for 3 months. And then you just have to stick by it. And I go to you, like, what difference does he make? And you go, weather with you.
I don't know why I took that stance. Oh, no. I know exactly why I took that stance. Just to be a fucking arsehole. Just to be contrary.
Yeah.
And just for a rare. And it weren't with you. I think it was with Strand.
No, it was definitely with me. I remember driving around the round South End town.
Right.
Around the kind of ring road bit by Honky Tonk Music, and that discussion was going on. And me thinking, I'm just not sure where he's actually going with this. Because you can list Smith songs all day long, and then you kind of get three songs into the Crowded House argument, and it just withers out, doesn't it?
I do like Crowded House, but I fucking
love Smiths, the Smiths, though, aren't I? No. Fuck's sake.
Well, Crowded House anyway, I'm going to go with that. Christmas records. Well, I've got the top 40 in front of us today. And, well, so Christmas 1980, Christmas number one.
John Lennon's died, so what is it?
No, he's not a number one. He's currently at number two with Just Like Starting Over.
It's got to be something good then, isn't it?
And he's also, is there another one in the top 40 of his? No, maybe not.
Yeah,
Happy Christmas, War is Over. Yeah.
I think Imagine's in the top 40 there somewhere as well.
Yeah, but...
What's number one? It's got to be something great if he's better than them three.
Oh, imagine how good he's going to be. I mean, yeah. It's the St. Winifred School Choir with There's No One Quite Like Grandma.
Savile must have gone out and bolt.
Did you...
There was a lot of fiddling went on in the charts in them days.
Yeah, there was. There was lots of fiddling in the top 40. I bought this for my nan.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a marketing gem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, just some girl with a couple of teeth missing, standing at the, you know, at the front of a load of other fucking gormless kids, all just singing, We Love Our Nan.
Yeah. That's what, it ticks all the fucking boxes for Christmas, doesn't it?
But I remember, like...
It was shit, though, wasn't it? Wasn't it shit?
Fucking terrible. I reckon I'd really hate to be able to actually officially find out if that might have been the first record I bought. I'd be really fucking upset if it was. But I definitely remember with my mum going out and getting it for my nan for Christmas and then sitting around my nan's on Christmas Day with all the family and just like that was just being played a few times. I think a couple of the pissed up aunts might have shed a tear.
Yeah.
How lovely it was looking at me nan sitting in an armchair.
Why do people have to cry on Christmas Day? I remember my nan got a Pan Pipe album. And she just put this, you know, when it was cassettes, put this fucking Pan Pipe cassette on and then just went all melancholy. Said, makes you think, doesn't it, you know, friends you don't see anymore, relations that are no longer with us. We're all just sat like...
Pulled a cracker that didn't bang.
Like me and you at the start of this podcast when you brought up John Lennon.
Well, there was some Christmas tunes in there. Number three...
Wish I was at home
for Christmas. I really like that.
What's your favourite Joan Louis song, that or the other one?
See, if I think of You'll Always Find Me in the Kitchen at Parties,
yeah,
I just think of The Young Ones, because it was on an episode of The Young Ones.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and I just think of that. That probably was where I first heard it. And then there was a band... About 5 years ago, it was something to do with madness.
Oh, it was, what's his, wasn't it? Man, Barson's son, wasn't it?
Man meet man something.
Not man to man meets man parish.
It certainly wasn't them. No.
They were a good band.
Man Like Me or something like that they were called. And yeah, they'd done it for an IKEA advert.
Oh,
I
and he fucking had a little cameo, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's a fucking tune, though.
It's a really good song.
Oh, they, because they changed it, was at some doing. Palmer's Green to it was at some doing Bethnal Green.
That's
it. Extenders.
Yeah, Cockney lads. Okay, other songs in the top. Well, let's have a look in the top 10. So at number five was Super Trooper by ABBA. Seems weird that ABBA was still having records in the 80s, but I guess they still had a few more after that. What album was that? Voulez-Vous?
Oh, fuck knows. I don't know.
Don't know. I don't like Super Trooper.
No, it's wafty, isn't it, Super Trooper? Like, I suppose... It's an all right song in the grand scheme of things, isn't it? But like they set the bar quite high, didn't they? Abba?
They set it really high, didn't they? If you're going to write pop songs, you know, I guess there's probably a good 10 ABBA songs that I put ahead of that one.
You like Does Your Mother Know?
No, I don't like that one.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
You don't like the tune, but you like the content.
Dee doo 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 dee da da da. The Police in at number six. Not one of my favourite Police songs either.
Nah, it's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gobbledygook. Number seven, Climbing from 10, Ant Music, Adam and the Ants. That's a...
See, that's good, isn't it?
That's fucking great. That's a proper pop song, that.
Do you reckon that's his best one?
Definitely. It's my favourite.
Yeah. It's got a real fucking rousing... just atmosphere, isn't it, to it? Like, it's real, like, it's got rousing beat and...
Big chorus.
Yeah.
Number 8. It's dropped from 6. I should do a lot of chart rundown. I'm loving this.
Do you want me to do the music?
Yeah, go on in.
Would it be that one then?
No. That one, wasn't it? Oh, no. Bag-a-bang, 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 bag-a-bang. The Wizard by Hardcastle. Yeah.
But that would, that would have been later in the 80s, wouldn't it?
I'm sure it was the one by... Was it like Gallup? Not Gallup. Who done the... that was obviously the top four. Who done the theme tune?
What was it? Because was that... Was it Phil Lynott or fucking Finn
Lizzie? It was. Yeah.
Called Blue Pearls or something. I don't know. Have I made that up?
Blue Waffle. Blue Waffle by Phil Lynott.
I'll have to check out Phil Lynott's Blue Waffle later.
Googling it, mate. Oh, fucking hell.
yeah, go on. What was 8 down to?
Oh, Embarrassment by Madness.
Yeah, we talk about his tune, innit?
Yeah, my favourite, that one. Imagine was at number 9. Runaway Boys by the Stray Cats at number 10. So this was around the time,
You're turning your nose up before you've even talked about it.
I don't mind it. Like, it was like that kind of sort of second wave of, like, I guess you had like that kind of, that sort of rockabilly thing sort of kicked again, didn't it?
Yeah, but there was a lot of kind of 50s-ish kind of retro stuff in the 80s, wasn't there?
You do the Hucklebuck. What were they called? Coast to Coast.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember the song. I don't remember what they was called.
Yeah. That's a number one.
Oh, was it? Mm. And you had fucking like Shaking Stevens and Shawaddy Waddy and Darts. And like, I know some of them were a bit of an hangover from the 70s.
Yeah.
But
it was that whole kind of rock and roll, rockabilly kind of teddy boy look, wasn't it?
But then sort of later on in the 80s, you had a lot of stuff that arced back to the 60s, didn't you? Like Marie Wilson and fucking Tracy Ullman. And people like a bit of nostalgia, didn't they?
Kind of always goes in like sort of 20-year cycles, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
we're 20 years too late with this, aren't we?
Yes. Yes.
Or...
What?
I was going to say like 180 years too soon.
I see what you've done there.
Didn't work.
Not so much.
Might edit it out.
Right, what else is in the charts? What's climbing? Rabbits climbed to number 13.
Go on, Chaz.
Go on, Chaz.
Like, at least he just wrote a song about it. Shilton took matters into his own hands.
In at 24, Do Nothing by the Specials.
I like to see Arthur.
20.
I like Do Nothing by the Specials.
It's my favourite.
It's my favourite as well. But yeah, the album version ain't got all the kind of synths, you know, the kind of washy kind of synths.
That's the best bit as well.
Yeah. Well, it's all the best bits, but it's just an integral part of it, isn't it?
Just looking at that kind of rockabilly thing, Shawaddy Waddy were in with their cover of Blue Moon. Fucking bad must that be.
They were pretty shy though, weren't they?
I mean, Shawaddy Waddy, that's a fucking terrible name for a band.
What does it even mean?
I ain't even going to give it any time. Well, look, we're talking Christmas, so and we're harking back here. So, what would be, like, what's, you know, if you had to think 1980 and Christmas for you, what would have been on your kind of Christmas list? And can you even remember what you got?
1980, I can, because that was the year of The Empire Strikes Back, and I got a snow speeder for Christmas.
Now you're going to make me look like a spoiled kid.
Because you were.
I got the Millennium Falcon, and I don't think I've ever had a Christmas present that's ever got anywhere near the joy of opening that.
No, it's the best fucking Christmas. The Millennium Falcon's the best Christmas present I never got.
And it's...
Why'd you get that? Do you have a big C or something?
No, I just remember thinking, I don't know, I think I might have asked for it. I mean, I've no idea how much that would have cost, like 30 quid. It would have been a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, and I mean, that, the Millennium Falcon nowadays would cost, what, 150 quid? Something like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they're a lot of dough, aren't they? 100 odd quid.
But that was when you'd come down the stairs and it would be like Sport Bastard from Viz. You'd measure your presence because, like, there'd just be massive boxes, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
And the older you get, like, now I come downstairs and I've got like six little things. I'm just like, oh, I can't even fucking bother to open them.
Year before last, I had one present that I didn't know what it was.
Right.
Right, and I've gone to unwrap it, and my sister's gone, feeling a bit soxy. Right?
Fucking hell!
And I went, well, at least I don't know what colour they are, and she started singing In the Navy. Well, cunt, one fucking present.
I remember, like, literally, like when you had, like, big boxes, you'd, like, tear...
Yeah,
like you proper like rip into the. Like,
oh, I didn't my Star Wars box. So I opened it carefully.
No, not the box. Like,
you, oh yeah, the wrapping. Yeah.
Oh mate, you rip that off and then like pulling out, and I can still smell that Millennium Falcon. Like, and then just like because the lid bit on the top that was in like a separate polythene thing, and I had to take it out, and then that clipped on, and it had the little chessboard in there.
Yeah,
and I just thinking, oh, and like opening the little cockpit and then putting the batteries in because it had like. Little gun, I said, they clip the little satellite thing on the top. Oh, it was just.
Do you have to put your own stickers on?
Yeah. And I remember just thinking it was just, I've got the Millennium Falcon. And I remember like someone said, oh, you're going to get like, because at that point, I think I probably had like model aeroplanes on like fishing line, like stuck to me ceiling.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, you should put the Millennium Falcon up there. And I remember just thinking, like, what? I want to play with it.
Yeah.
And like, and oh, I just. Why I sold that, I don't know. Obviously, you just do, unless you're you.
Oh, hang on, we'll stack all up the loft.
Yeah. You bought a Millennium Falcon since?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a period about...
Got an email.
Oh. Anyone good?
I'm going to turn the volume down on the laptop.
Yeah, I had a period about... It was in the last couple of years of when I was touring, and my mum... My mum was having a fucking mad one and had this dodgy lodger in her house who she caught nicking a load of stuff. Like, went in his room and found, like pork pie wrappers out the fridge and that. And then, like a couple of...
Oh, he was big-time thief?
Yeah. No, but, like, a pair of her shreddies and a fucking, like, a power tool and stuff that was, like, out of her kitchen cupboard, like... So she turfed him out. But I thought he'd fucking been up the loft and had me Star Wars figures. And I went, like, right through, because I've got, you know, I'm a terrible fucking order. And all my records and stuff are still up my mum's loft. So went through all the stuff and, like, literally in the last fucking bag was me Star Wars figures. So counted them up, I had 65. I reckon I must have kind of pinched a couple off you, swapped a couple off other people. And then I just collected the rest of the set then.
I reckon one of our... most vivid memories, and I'm looking to the right now, and on the top of the mantelpiece in the bar where we're recording is a picture you done of me and you in the 80s for my birthday one year. It's me and you where we'd walk to the local town every lunchtime, as we touched on in the previous episodes, where we'd answer the phone box and it'd be a stranger diddling with himself in some bushes. and we were going to Southend, we were going to our local town Every Saturday. Probably, how much money would we have had? £1.50? £2?
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought £2.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I reckon £1.50.
Yeah.
And I think with that, we could never quite afford a figure because we'd want to go and buy some chips and chip up a copper.
Yeah.
Like, for those that haven't read Cunt's book, one of our pastimes was we'd buy some chips...
It was mostly a traffic warden, mate. You're making us sound brave.
Sorry, it was a traffic warden, wasn't it?
Making us sound braver than we actually were.
And we just... You wouldn't just throw chips at someone. You'd announce it as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Chipping up, it was a twofold thing, wasn't it? You'd throw the chip, but shout chip.
Yeah. In a kind of, chip!
Chip! like a golfer shouts four. Because it'd be cowardly to just throw a chip at a traffic warden and not shout anything. You've got to give him a fair warning.
If you're walking along and you hear the word chip, you would You wouldn't expect to get hit in the face with a hot fucking fried potato, would you? You'd just think, I don't know, what would you think? You certainly wouldn't think that, an incoming fucking chip.
I like to think that it was inspired by the opening scene of Grange Hill, you know, that sausage on the fork. Yeah.
Well, but one day, we'd walk this way, and we're into town, we walked the same way every week, and there was this kind of like hardware shop, wasn't there, that sold like kind of, just took really, wasn't it?
It was just a load of old shit in little plastic baskets, wasn't it?
Yeah. We walk in there, and then for some reason, I don't think it was like regularly stocked Star Wars toys, did it?
No, just they just happened to have some.
And go on.
But I don't think there's any way of explaining with the internet. I mean, obviously, like there's a lot of people our age are listening to this, so they'll understand. But for the young people listening, there's no way of explaining with the internet how fucking readily available everything is.
Yeah.
Of how hard it was to find things.
Yeah.
And so the you on the back of the Star Wars figures packet, you'd have like the entire range, you know, and there'd be like, I don't know, like 70 odd at this point or 90 odd figures. And one of them was blacked out.
Yeah.
Just like with a little black box over it. And all you could see was his name, Zuckus.
Yeah.
And like it became like this thing of legends that you talk about. Oh, Zuckus! I wonder what it looks like. Because you just wouldn't know then, because you couldn't just go and look on the internet, and you'd maybe seen the film once, and you didn't know who he was because they didn't say any of their names. So Zuckus, what's Zuckus look like? And it was like a fucking legendary thing that we'd all kind of talked about at school, and talked about our groups of mates and cubs and that.
But week in, week out, we would go into like John Menzies and Woolworths and look at the Star Wars toys, wouldn't we? And, and that figure did not exist there.
No, like maybe in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like that, though, didn't it? Yeah. You'd only get that in Harrods or America.
Yeah. Not even Wings and Wheels.
No. Wings and Wheels. Oh, we'll get back onto that.
Yeah. And then, go on, you can take over from there.
Well, I just remember, did you see it or did I see it?
I don't remember who see it, but I just remember, like, he's just there in the fucking basket.
In a little blue basket, wasn't it? Just on the floor.
And there was two of them, weren't there? Yeah. Like, and we just got them out, and just literally, we had our hands on each other's shoulders, and was just jumping around for joy, going, fucking Zuckus! Fucking Zuckus! But we must have been eight. Must have been eight.
But I remember, like, they must have been, like, £1.49, and we must have just had £1.50 each, and we were just like...
Yeah, fuck lunch.
This is we don't need chips.
Yeah, got Zuckus, fuck lunch.
And like
I remember going down to Grey's on other occasions.
That's my next tattoo. I remember feeling like we got something really special happened now.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Fucking
that's
Zuckus.
Right up there, that's right. And when people, you know, like not anyone ever asked, but when I think back to our fucking top moments over the years. He's a top fiver, definitely.
In 1980, I couldn't tell you where I was when John Lennon died. But I can fucking tell you the impact of finding Zuckus in House of Essex was. Oh, huge. Absolutely huge. So my earliest memory of Christmas and you would have been round your house. And you was always a very creative lad, and you know, you'd always like be drawing cartoons and like comics and stuff, and like and doing like, yeah, just making cool shit.
You're saying something nice, so I can't help but think that something horrible's about to follow.
Yeah, and for some reason, like you was always a lad stuff that like I want a lad, like so like you know you'd have all these kind of like cool like marker pens and stuff, but I remember like you had a can of snow spray, and I remember just thinking like, fucking hell, that's like adults have that. And like, you know, and we weren't the sort of house that ever had snow spray in the window. Like, you know, because in, you know, back in the day, that was like a lot of houses, like, that'd have like the kind of little eight panels of glass in their front door would do like a little kind of corner of snow spray.
That's
on
what
each
snow
one.
Spray was for, wasn't it? Just a mini drift on them panelled doors.
That is exactly what it was for. What it wasn't for was. You'd sprayed it on something you'd made.
I fucking remember what happened. It was on my window.
And was that what it was?
Yeah, and you just wanted to draw something in it. So you've drawn something in it, like you had a bit on your finger, and you just fucking flicked it and it went right in my eye and it stung like fuckery and I screamed like a fucking girl.
And I panicked and I just remember your mum coming in and like, and I was hoping you'd like rein it in when your mum got there so I didn't get in trouble, but you was having a right old fucking shit fit. And then your mum was like, and I think I laughed, and I'm sure your mum sort of kind of like quite sternly went, I don't think this is funny, Stuart. And I was
losing
someone's
eyesight isn't funny.
And I remember just thinking, oh no, I'm in proper trouble there. He's gone blind. Oh, the fucking scream. It was ridiculous.
Well, losing an eye finished Gordon Banks' England career, so I don't really think it's something to laugh about.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
Christmas. Should we do films or should we do TV?
Let's do films then. Come back to Christmas TV.
Okay. So films that were out in December... 1980, Superman 2.
Was it Superman 2? Was it Superman? No, Superman 1, isn't it?
I think it was Superman 2. 1980.
Really?
First Superman would have been 77, 78.
Oh, would it? Oh, I just had Superman down.
Alright.
You're going to check it?
Going to fact check it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because Superman would have been sort of 78-ish, wouldn't it?
Because, Superman 2, yeah. 1980, yeah.
What was Superman 2? Was that
sorry, can you just say sorry?
I did, didn't I?
Right, no. Sorry, Fonz, say sorry.
Why have I got to apologise? I said you're Fonz, right.
No, say sorry.
Well, why should I apologise? All right, I was... sorry, boy, I was... Right. I say sorry all the time. I don't care. Like it never means anything. So I don't say it. I just don't mean it. Sorry, Roy.
Which one was
okay?
Yeah, I'm all right now. We can move on. Superman 2, was that the one with like Jeremy Beadle and the other two, the bird and the
Peter Whiff. Yeah.
Was that Superman 2?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Who was the baddie in Superman 1 then?
Lex Luthor. Yeah, Gene Hackman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then Superman 3 was Richard Pryor, wasn't it?
No, he wasn't a bad. He was just a dog when he
. Lex Luthor was back, I think, in 3. Yeah. We've probably got this all arse about face.
No, but I'm sure it was the 3 baddies, and they didn't fucking shoot red rays from their eyes.
They were
and
terrifying.
That. Yeah, I think I saw that before Superman 1.
Right,
I do.
I remember seeing Superman definitely, and I remember collecting the Superman sticker book.
I collect the little cards, the Star Wars cards. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, maybe they were cards then. Can't remember.
Because I think that might have predated sticker books.
Possibly.
I don't know. Cause you had them little cards, didn't you? Like
with bubble gum in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I remember sitting in a bath as a kid and doing my hair and trying to get that little curl like Superman in a mirror.
Yeah.
And just thinking he was just the coolest geezer ever.
Have you been able to buy into any other Superman since Christopher Reeve?
No.
Now, see, I think this is the... When you've seen Christopher Reeve do Superman, it kind of defines it for you. But I don't know whether people that have watched it in other eras would feel the same about their Superman.
Yeah, I just...
I really got any interest in it outside fucking seeing Christopher Reeve's Superman.
No, like... I'd have interest in telling people that are into the new ones how they're wrong. I'd be quite more than up for doing that, because Christopher Reeve was just fucking great.
I think it's just a rare instance of something just not being as good as it used to be.
Could be that. Stir crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like, it's so good, isn't it?
It's good, isn't it?
I mean, you've got the tattoos on your arm, haven't you?
Oh, that's a...
That's See No Evil, Hear No Evil, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that you've got Pryor
and Wilder. I don't think there's a better pair of buddies in fucking film history. I might be wrong.
I don't think there is. That's a good shout, that. Sir Crazy, I've seen that a lot of you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't reckon I've seen it for 4 or 5 years, but I've seen it a lot.
I remember when that first came out. Well, no, I don't remember when it first came out, but I remember like seeing it. I reckon I was a lot older when I saw that.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
But I remember thinking it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, just... Both of them had just got comedy bones, right?
It's cracking, isn't it? I love how Gene Wilder always gets the love interest.
Yeah. Because he looked like a kind of... Yeah. Slightly kind of... He looked like a bad waxwork of Art Garfunkel, didn't he?
Yeah, like a melted Rod Hull.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, like, I mean, I was proper sad when Gene Wilder died.
Yeah, I was sad, but he was old, and, like, I fucking love you. I love his films. I think he's just got funny fucking bones. I love him as Willy Wonka. Oh. Love him in the Pryor films. Love him in Woman in Red.
Yeah.
And Kelly LeBrock. it's all right. It's after the watershed.
And, obviously, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
And the producers.
Yeah. Other films that come out that year. You Got Me Turning Any Which Way You Can by, I don't know if Clint Eastwood actually voiced that song, but I might have been singing the theme tune to Any Which Way But Loose to Any Which Way You Can.
Oh, that's all right.
Same thing, yeah. Right?
Basically, it's the same film, isn't it, but different.
Both of them have got...
Clyde.
Yeah, taking a right turn at a junction. And I think the Black Scorpions are in both films as well.
How are they?
Yeah. That's fucking great Any Which Way But Loose.
I ain't seen that, but I ain't seen either of them for a very long, long while.
You like a bit of Eastwood, though, don't you?
I fucking love a bit of Eastwood. Do you know what? If people come in here with machine guns now, pointing at my head and made me choose my favourite actor, I think it would be out of Wilder and Eastwood.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I like De Niro and that, but... I don't know, for sheer fucking number of films that I'd go back and watch again, I'd watch Wilder all day long and I'd watch Eastwood all day long.
Mm.
You got any Eastwood films you tickle your fancy?
I've watched Any Which Way You Can, Any Which Way But Loose a lot as a kid. I also watched Paint Your Wagon a lot as a kid. It's one of my dad's favourite films. And like, we had the soundtrack on here in... Lee Marvin doing "I Was Born Under a Wand," and I remember just thinking he was like Clint Eastwood was ridiculously handsome, wasn't he?
I mean, like if you look at fucking Fistful of Dollars,
yeah,
and Dirty Harry, just like two of the fucking coolest film roles ever.
That was on like this week, Fistful of Dollars.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I love Fistful of Dollars.
Takes every bit of restraint not to say Traveller's Checks, as I'm saying that.
But I'll watch that again and again, Fistful of Dolls. Really like that.
And Thingy was fucking great. What was the one he done about 5 years ago?
Gran Torino.
Gran Torino. Fucking amazing. Yeah,
don't you love an old bloke who can have it a bit in the old days? Fucking getting forced into it. Yeah.
Love it.
Harry Brown was a bit like that, wasn't
it? Oh, that was great.
Yeah. But it's good, an old bloke who used to have it and everyone thinks just like an old bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He still turn you upside down. 9 to 5 come out. Dolly Parton.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
I watched it a few years ago. I have no memory of it whatsoever. It's one you know, like one of these fluffy kind of 80s kind of comedies that's... Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all right. Didn't do that much for us, though.
Good tune.
Yeah. Yeah, she's all right, though, isn't she, Dolly Parton?
Yeah, Dolly Parton. I just think 80s. I think.
Yeah.
80s.
June Smith.
'80s, yeah, big old '80s hits. Apparently, I started developing Alton Towers.
Yeah,
see, in 1980.
If you want a more highbrow podcast, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, don't come here. well, before we did touch on toys earlier, and yes, we did talk about what we got. 1980 was the year of the Rubik's Cube.
Ah.
Is there anything more 80s, you know, more iconic than the Rubik's Cube when you think 80s? How many flyers and albums have had a Rubik's Cube on there?
Well, yeah, because when you do an 80s flyer for a club, you Rubik's just click Cube. Rubik's Cube. When we did, Mike and me did the video for Wank Fantasy.
Yeah.
In the background, Rubik's Cube, because it's set in the 80s.
Did you have a one-off band called Pubic Cube? You did, didn't
you? Yeah, it was it, Pubic Cube, yeah. And on the flyer, we had a Rubik's Cube with Pubic Cube written on it.
Was that an early incarnation of Cunt?
Yeah, that was like me and Andy, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pubic Cube.
We did that fucking...
Was that the one at the Thames side?
It went over a few gigs, but it had a different name at the Thames side, but become Pubic Cube. So the last gig we did with it was Jim's band. Jim had a grunge band. Our mate Jim had a grunge band, and they were, cheers, mate. And they was playing a gig up at, was it the King's Head in Stamford? It's like the old Stamford Leo. And he had this new bird. And her
should also point out, this is not a live venue in the kind. It's a pub in a rough tan.
Yeah, this is like, but this is what all the gigs were, weren't they? Yeah. In the corner of a pub where people had just gone to have a drink.
And you'd hungrily bite anyone's arm off to play it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, that was how it worked in them days. And so, so Jim, I don't know why Jim thought it was a good idea. He asked me and Andy to support him. And so his grunge band playing, his new girlfriend's mum and dad were coming along, and he thought we'd be a suitable support. And we hadn't played for about a year, but I had a couple of new songs, and that was the first time I played Have a Wank. And I remember me, I had this song called Cocking a Cunt, right? And Jim's bird's mum and dad walked in halfway through it with me and Andy just rolling around the floor going, "We're cocking a cunt, we're cocking a cunt, we're cocking a cunt, but it won't go off." And
Was this gone, sorry.
Yeah, they just walked in. And I just remember seeing them because they were much older than all the rest of the crowd there and just turn around and walk back out again. And they never come back and watch Jim's band.
Fair enough.
But it was sort of Jim's fault in a lot of ways for thinking it was a suitable support. We weren't going to turn a gig down.
Was my cock in the cunt, was that when you had that thing of like, you had to, for it to go off, you had to think, oh, my cock's in the cunt.
Yeah. That was it. He's like, you've just been having it off for ages and nothing's happening, so you just kind of have to think the rudest thing you can. And the rudest thing you can think, me cocking a cunt!
He's quite rude.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So, Christmas Day, 1980.
I don't know whether we've peaked too soon now.
Christmas TV, 1980 on the BBC. I honestly looked at this the other night. Fucking hell.
Is this just you having another rant about children's TV?
Right, imagine getting up, right, really excited. And do you know what? I can remember this, right? So telly starts at 9 o'clock, right? So this is Christmas Day in 1980, right? So by then I've probably been up about 7 hours.
Watching that girl and her clown play Noughts and Crosses.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. And at 9:05 a.m., Football Association coaching, tactics, skills. Now, I remember all I ever wanted for Christmas in 1980, all right, I wanted a green goalkeeper's top.
Yeah.
And I wanted a pair of goalie's gloves. I got the goalie's gloves and they were yellow with black gripping stuff on them.
I know the ones, the little fucking dots, the rubber kind of dots. Yeah.
And this is before like goalie gloves evolved. Mm. And I remember getting them and thinking, fucking hell, I've got goalie gloves.
Yeah.
And like,
they were like gardener's gloves, weren't they, with bits of rubber stuck on.
Yeah. And, but I just wanted one of them green goalkeeper's tops with a number one on the back.
Yeah.
I was so desperate for one. I never got one.
But when you say a green goalkeeper's top, that was just a goalkeeper's top. In the 80s, there weren't any other colours.
No, absolutely. And I remember like watching that, and I was probably sat there watching it in my goalie gloves, like eating like fucking a chomp or something out of my selection box. And then 9:30 swap shop come on. Right. So this is Christmas Day TV, right? I've got to double check this is right. Oh no, that's the 20th. I'm getting really angry about this and I was wrong. Right, Christmas Day. Right, let's get to the fucking big guns. Here we go. Christmas Day. Oh, there's some good stuff on here. Oh. 8:55, television comes on. Watch, it's called. The Story of the Nativity. I mean, how rubbish is that? That would have just been like a couple of like elderly people sitting in a chair just talking. Right?
It's Christmas Day. Let them have a bit of...
9:25, Mr. Ben. I'll go for that. Yeah. 9:40, Pink Panther. Brilliant. They're warming me up now. Right? Yeah. I've undone all my presents. I've like, had a couple of chocolate bars. My mum's told me I'm not allowed to have any more chocolate now until dinner. So I'm now getting a bit itchy. Right? Yeah. My old man's probably still getting stuff ready for the Christmas dinner. So he hasn't like kind of helped me build something out of Lego or something like that. 10 o'clock, morning worship.
Oh.
Put it on BBC Two.
Yeah.
No, we can't put it on BBC Two because that's, that closes down at 11 a.m. until 3:10 when it reopens for a year in the life of Exmoor Man. Oh, it's just shocking.
They were bleak times, weren't they? But I think with all the information, you know, all the entertainment that's available these days, it's just been forgotten that sometimes...
Oh, it just gets worse, mate.
Come on in.
Morning worship followed by the weather. And they've even said it's with Jim Bacon. Like, why does anyone care who's presenting the weather? It's on for 5 minutes. Followed
Jim Bacon's mum does.
11:05, The Wonderful World of the Brothers Grimm from 1962. Oh, come on. At least put on Digby. Right. Then it goes straight to 1:10. Oh, brilliant. Back for more carols from Warwick Castle.
You can't have too many carols on Christmas Day, though, can you?
But it wouldn't even have been fun ones. It wouldn't have been like... It would have just been like just a load of elderly people in a church.
Yeah, just all the shit ones.
Yeah, just not looking happy.
You have enough carols on Christmas Day, don't you? Your mum and your missus.
There you go. Two carols. That's more than enough. Thank you very much. 2 o'clock. Here we go. Here we go. Top of the Pops. Ew. 1980. Who was on there? ABBA, Blondie, Bowie, Floyd, The Police, The Nolans, Peter Powell and Jimmy Savile, OBE. 3 o'clock, The Queen. Did you just have to watch that?
No, we never had to. This was something that my mum pretended we watched in latter years. Like when around the time when she started putting that little jacket on the wine bottle, like she pretended we were the kind of family that watched the Queen's speech. We never gave a fucking shit. No one gave a fucking shit about it. It weren't until my nan started putting plates up when she was in her 60s that the family started pretending they liked the royal family. I fucking hate the royal family. Nothing. No fucking... You shouldn't have mentioned them.
I fucking hate them.
Oh, they're shit, aren't they? Like, it's just bin them off.
Loads of photos of me with a shit haircut eating, like, some corned beef sandwich at a street party in the 70s for something to do with the Queen. And then my next memory was when she come to Grey's. Yeah. And that was rubbish.
Yeah. No, she took a detour because we come out of school. We all come out of school with our little fucking flags.
I stood by Dano's Woods.
Yeah.
And she walked along because she spoke to Nicola Carter, who was in my class. And that was the front page of our local rag. Her talking to Nicola Carter, who probably gave her like some sort of fucking rosette or something shit.
Oh, maybe my school got the wrong date then. We all come out of our flags, like along by Dano's Woods. And we all fucking stood there. Like with our flags, and then like we got word that the Queen had taken a different route, and we all just went back to school with our flags. And since that day, you know, she snubbed me. I wonder whether the teacher just got the wrong date now. You said she was actually there. Did you see the Queen?
Yeah. Why are you looking at me like I'm lying?
Because you said your dad was 21B medical droid in exactly the same year as you met the Queen.
At 3:10, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was on from 1954.
Yeah, that was good though, that.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah. Kirk Douglas, Jimmy Mason.
Yeah.
But rather I watched Digby.
Was Digby a late 70s thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put Digby on. Put on Pete's Dragon. Don't put on something like that.
You just want something with a large animal, didn't you?
Yes. 5:15. The Paul Daniels Magic Show.
That was probably fun then. In
I got the Paul Daniels Magic Show, like magic set one Christmas.
Oh, did you? Did you do tricks for your family?
No, I don't think I ever even used it. I remember just looking at it and just thinking, that's boring, isn't it? I sound like such a spoiled bastard there, didn't I? But I remember just thinking, I hate magic. And like magic shows, I remember like everyone used to sort of pretend that Paul Daniels was like really cool. And was like...
Yeah, but you had a fit wife, didn't they?
Worship me, Debbie! Like, oh, no. Then it was the news with Angela Rip and Larry Grayson's Generation. I used to really like Larry Grayson when I was a kid. I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
Dallas? Christmas night, 1980, 7:15, Dallas. I bet it weren't a Christmas Dallas.
I don't know. I thought Dallas was later in the 80s than that.
7:15. Hmm. 8:05, the Mike Yarwood Christmas Show. Remember Mike Yarwood?
I don't remember Mike Yarwood. He's been forgotten by history, isn't he, Mike Yarwood?
Oh, did he do something?
No. That's the thing, you mention any entertainer from the 70s and it's just fucking the word yew tree pops into your mind. No, Yarwood's clean.
Oh, right,
yeah,
good.
Swapped his fingers and everything. Nothing.
Oh, right, good. And then at 8:45 Christmas Day, Airport. 1975 with Charlton Heston. Sorry, that was a premiere of Airport.
I haven't seen Airport. Have you seen Airport?
Oh, probably. Just what a load of crap. Oh, 10:40. That's after news and some more weather from Jim Bacon.
He's had a busy day, hasn't he?
Not really. He's done 10 minutes graft.
Yeah, but you know, he's out on Christmas Day. He's probably got to stay there. He probably ain't got time to get home in between.
He's rubbing shoulders with Rippon. She was bossing it back then. Parkinson at Christmas at 10:40 with Penelope Keith. James Galway.
Was he the famous flautist?
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Who are we going to chat to? A bloke and his flute. It's like Partridge. No, thank you. Yeah, just rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. But
it's TV for old people, isn't
that's
it?
That's BBC, right?
Yeah, but it is. It's TV for old people, isn't it?
Well, should we see where we're at with...
You don't need a TV. You got a Millennium Falcon.
I weren't watching telly then. I was too excited. Right, ITV. 9:30 it opened up. Clopper Castle. White elephants with puppets of Clopper Castle. That sounds really tragic. Followed by Rainbow. Always disappointing Rainbow, wasn't it?
That was it. I don't know, I quite like Rainbow. I always felt like it was a bit anarchic.
Really?
Yeah, Zippy, you know. He was like a punk, wasn't he?
Clapperboard with Chris Kelly. Remember that?
No.
Frank Muir's Christmas Extraordinary. Wonder how extraordinary that was.
Extraordinarily shit.
This is the sort of shit that I'd be getting excited about. 11 o'clock, Disneyland's 25th anniversary of Michael Jackson, the Osmonds. I bet that would have been good. Followed by Free Time with Mick Robertson. Can you remember that? Free Time, what you gonna do? Oh, yeah. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
I just thought he looked like Kevin Keegan, Mick Robertson.
Yeah, he had a fro, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, then at 12:30, Take the High Road. See, this is the sort of stuff that I remember. Like, at 1:30, a Walt Disney classic, Chippendale with Donald Duck. I'd be, like, well excited if something like that come on. They've literally gone to a school for a Christmas nativity. Unless you're the parents of, like, the 20 kids in that show.
Nah, don't broadcast it.
Don't broadcast it. Crossroads. Give us a clue for Christmas. Come on, give us a clue.
I used to like Give Us a Clue, though. Did you like Give Us a Clue?
Do you know what I liked about it? I thought it was quite a nice team spirit. So when one of them got up...
Yeah, the other one kept the seat warm.
The other one moved over, didn't they? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I remember quite liking Una Stubbs. I remember we used to watch her in Summer Holiday with Cliff.
Yeah.
And I used to think she was quite cool. And I remember really liking Lionel Blair.
Yeah, I liked Lionel Blair. I liked Give Us a Clue. It's weird the things you like when you was a kid and you look back and think, it's weird, isn't it, Give Us a Clue? It's just some people playing charades.
But we didn't call it charades. We'd play it every Christmas.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, should we play Give Us a Clue?
Yeah.
And like, we never played
only
charades.
Yeah, only became charades, didn't it, after that?
Yeah.
It was called, we'll play Give Us a Clue.
Yeah. Christmas at Robin's Nest with Richard O'Sullivan. I don't really remember that. I remember Richard O'Sullivan in Dick Turpin. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I used to love that.
Yeah, I like Dick Turpin.
Oh, this sounds bad. 8 o'clock. London Night Out Christmas Special. Tom O'Connor presents Cilla Black, Arlene Phillips, Hot Gossip, Bernie Winters and Schnorbitz. Oh, God, that... I mean, that's proper 80s...
Entertainment, that is, isn't it? It's just it's just fucking variety, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hot Gossip, though.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. A film called Family Plot, Hitchcock... Midnight Mass, and then close down. Midnight. You've had your fun. Christmas is over. Go to bed.
Yeah, but that's all right. If you'd have told me TV was still going on at midnight in 1980, I'd have said, no, I wouldn't have thought so. Did ITV have a different test card to the BBC? Was it your BBC test card, that one with the girl and the clown?
I really wish the ITV one was the same, but she completed it. where are we at? What else have we got to talk about? I want to talk about drinks and food at Christmas.
Go on then.
See, did you ever have, like, was you allowed booze at Christmas when you was a kid?
I don't think one side of the family didn't really drink indoors, and then my old man's family all like had a little tipple, but. No, I don't remember us kids ever having anything. I remember like mind sweeping a bit at family parties when we was younger, but
yeah. Like both sides of my family growing up were like drinkers.
Yeah.
And like especially like my dad's side, it was like, you know, all sailors and dockers, it was like there was always booze about. And I remember like they'd all have like the little kind of half pint and pint like peat bill glasses, like the ones with the big handles, and
yeah.
And I used to think, oh bloody hell. And I always really liked the idea of having like at the time I remember they were all drinking Kestrel. Like Kestrel was the cool beer. And I was like, oh, I've got a can of Kestrel. And like, every now and again I'd have a swig of beer and just thinking it was rancid.
Yeah. Beer tastes fucking horrible when you're a kid, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then like I was allowed to put a bit of lemonade in it and have a shandy. And I remember just thinking, it was probably like the closest I ever had to having pubes as a kid.
It's a matter of time before pubes sprout.
Yeah.
If I just keep sipping this slightly sickly liquid.
And a snowball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I did definitely try the snowball when I was a kid.
Yeah. And I think, I remember I used to like having quite a lot. And I was thinking, was I being duped? Was I like, putting something else in? Cause, like, surely I weren't being given booze. Maybe I was. Because you're not going to replicate that abacar any other way, are you? And I remember my nana put like glacier cherry on the top.
Yeah.
I remember just thinking, fucking hell, check this out.
Yeah, look at you in your Speedos, Club Tropicana.
What would you do like Christmas Day? Like, what would be like a daily routine in the 80s?
We normally done it round my old man's mum's in Averley, and we'd go round there, us kids open, like take all our presents round there, open the presents in front of the grandparents.
Oh, so you weren't allowed to open your presents till you got round your nans?
I reckon we probably did a couple. I've got very fucking sketchy memory, but I think we opened a couple at home, and I think we took most of them round there. You know, and then just all the usual things, you know, sit and eat roses and Quality Street and I always remember James Bond being on.
Sorry, I've just gone through that whole fucking lineup of television. And that's Christmas Eve. Christmas Day's blinding.
Well, that's all right. Maybe we get 2 hours out of this.
Christmas run around with Mike Reed. That would have been good. Wallop, have some of that. 11:40. Digby, the biggest dog in the world.
Oh, fuck off. What, really?
Yeah. Jim Dale, Spike Milligan. What more do you want on Christmas morning? And a fuck off big dog. Oh, I love Digby. Digby, you're my dog. You're my dog. You're mine. Oh, fucking brilliant. I love Jim Dale.
Yeah, he's
he was my favourite in the carry-ons.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, better than Sid James.
Yeah, I just thought he was like really lovely. Like, he just looked like a proper good bloke, Jim Dale.
Oh, but yeah, I didn't like Sid James because he was lovely. I loved him because he was like... smacking the...
See, for people that are listening there, that does sound like Sid James, but you look like old man Steptoe when you was doing that. Christmas Crossroads, Billy Smart's Circus with Keith Harris. Keith Harris would have had Orville. I would have been overly excited about that. Yeah. 3:10, George and Mildred the film. 5:00, 3:21, the special pantomime. Ted Rogers, with Nicholas Parsons, Bill Maynard, Mike Reed, Bob Carroll G's. Entertainment.
Yeah.
6:00, Man with a Golden Gun. Bit of Bond at Christmas. It's like Bond.
No,
I think it's rubbish.
Got no fucking interest in it.
Yeah, I remember just thinking. I think we were spoiled because once you've seen Star Wars, you're not going to get a better action film. Maybe Raiders of the Lost Ark is up there, but like,
I used to sit and watch Bond, and I didn't dislike it, but I don't know, something about it's just always just a bit fucking like second rate.
I
didn't like the sexy bits that come on when you like. There was always a sexy bit in Bond, and you'd be sat there with a family, just like he's having a bit of a snog with someone.
I mean, the man with a golden gun, Roger Moore, who was probably what when he was making Bond, what 50?
Is there a sexier name than Roger Moore?
No, Roger Moore.
I'd like to Roger Moore.
I'd like to have Roger Moore of Britt Eklund. Like, oh, how lovely was Britt Eklund.
She was. One of my favourite film scenes is her doing the sexy dance in The Wicker Man when you see her bomb doors. But apparently they were stunt doors.
Stunt beaver. Oh, she was bloody lovely, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, Britt Eklund. 8:30, Malcolm and Wise, with Peter Cushing, Jill Gascoigne. Jill Gascoigne, she was an 80s woman, wasn't she?
She was, wasn't she? Yeah, the Gentle Touch.
The Gentle Touch with Jill Gascoigne. Did she do a police show as well, Jill Gascoigne?
Yeah, the Gentle Touch with Jill Gascoigne.
Jill Gascoigne was in a Confessions film. I had a VHS of a Confessions film. Confessions of a Pop Performer. And obviously it was Jimmy Lee, Asquith.
Yeah.
Like, as performer Jimmy Lee. And he was done like this kind of glam band.
Yeah.
And he pulled Jill Gascoigne in it.
Oh, that's ringing a bit of a bell now you said that.
Boobies come out and everything. Glenda Jackson was on the Malcolm and Wise show. Alec Guinness, a.k.a. Ben Kenobi.
Alec Guinness and Peter Cushing.
Mm. What more do you want? Followed by This Is Your Life. Oh, I loved a bit of that.
Did you? Yeah, I quite like This Is Your Life.
But it would always be that kind of, you know, conundrum of like, oh, who's that? But like, did you ever see it when like Suggs done it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's on YouTube, that is.
Yeah, I went and watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to like This Is Your Life, like when I was a kid. But like, I can't fucking watch Who Do You Think You Are?
Oh, no, that's different.
But is it though, really? Like...
If they're going back and showing black and white pictures, I'm zoning out. Like, just bring out Cannon and Ball and an anecdote and then go and sit down next to, like, Jeff Capes or something. That's the sort of stuff I want. Oh, this would have been bad. Janet and Company. Comedian Janet Brown.
I don't remember Janet Brown. Do you know Janet Brown?
Yeah. I'm sure Janet Brown used to do, like, a Cilla Black impression a lot. Janet Brown with special guest Roy Kinnear. He always had comedy bones, didn't he?
Yeah.
Frank Windsor, Rod Hull and Emu, followed by the film A Touch of Class. Close down. Yeah. So Christmas Day TV was a lot better. Oh,
so what was that, Beeb? You just
that was ITV. Just, oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Like ITV was so much better than like BBC. So right before we start to wind up, December 1980, right at the close on the 26th of December, several United States Air Force security personnel stationed at RAF Woodbridge reported that they investigated lights in the surrounding forest. So this was one of the most kind of famous UFO claims ever. Ever seen a UFO?
Yeah.
That was just the least convincing. Yeah.
I have.
Right, honestly.
Nah, well, I don't know about... No, not a UFO, but I've seen something strange in the sky, right, that I can't explain.
Right.
Right, so obviously I was... I don't know I was going to fucking take me serious anyway.
No.
Like, but this was for years where I was touring around, like maybe, you know, nearly 10 years, I was driving around late at night and the gigs in the Midlands... And like some, you know, sometimes even as far as Leeds, I'd just fucking do the drive home just to have a night in my own bed because I was away so much.
Yeah.
And so like, I'd be doing like, you know, 3 and 4 hour drives like around lanes and stuff late at night.
Testing on the eyes. God, imagine that.
I didn't realise you were a top lawyer. And so you'd be driving around late at night and like you'd see shooting stars and all because it's so fucking dark around the lanes.
Yeah, lanes,
you're such a cunt. Such a cunt.
Oh, go on.
That is going to be really disappointing because you think I was going to say, like, I see some little men running across the field getting into this thing and flying away. But it's not. Nothing like that. No. No, so I was just fucking driving down a country lane one night and, like, you know, it's pitch fucking black. There's no lights or anything, so, like, no light pollution. So you just kind of notice things. And then it was just one night, I just noticed this fucking green light just go down. Like, just in a downward line, really quickly, like bright fucking green light.
Did it go down to amber and then red?
Yeah, and then I just stopped at it. Yeah, it was like a fucking, like, a really bright green light in the sky, and it just went down like that and disappeared. And that's it. So what do you think that was?
I reckon it might have just been a shooting star, little aeroplane... Something like that.
That weren't any of them things. Do you know what I think it was?
What?
An unidentified flying object.
Absolute bollocks.
Well, you've been unable to identify it. It was flying because it was up in the air, and it was an object because, you know, it was there, by its very nature, a thing. I don't know what it fucking was. I'm not saying it's little green men. I'm just saying I can't explain it. It was like nothing I've ever fucking seen. I'm not saying it was a spaceship with little men in or anything. I'm just saying it was like, I don't know, maybe it was like, I don't know, like, you know, like the Northern Lights or some fucking weird thing in the sky. But it's like something I've never seen before, never since. And I've done hundreds of hours fucking driving around late at night, nearly getting squashed by these Stobart lorries.
Yeah.
And it was just really, it was really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weren't like an headlight or anything like that, was it?
A headlight?
Yeah, from like Eddie Stobart or anything like that. It wasn't anything...
No, it was up in the fucking sky.
I just want to clarify when it happened. It happened when you happened to be down a country lane with no street lights.
Yeah.
And nobody else, just you.
There was someone else there.
Who?
Little cunt, but he was zipped up in the old hall. Talking about lights in the sky, did you ever see Santa's sleigh in the sky?
Right, I didn't see it, right? But I've got, and I've tried to explain this to my kids, right? That I have this vivid memory of, like, going to bed, obviously, like, probably going to bed at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas Eve, just so I could, like, wake up and it'd be Christmas. And obviously then just, like, laying there for hours, just, like, it's really hard to, like, explain just how excited you are as a kid in it for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like, it's unreal. And I remember like laying there and as I was dozing off, hearing sleigh bells. And I remember just thinking, holy shit, like I'm up too late. Like it's coming. And like, and I was too scared to look out the window in case like I saw him and I didn't get presents because fundamentally, I'd love to have thought that I would have seen the real Father Christmas, but not at the expense of a Millennium Falcon. Fuck that. Like, if he would have seen me and just carried on next door and gave my Millennium Falcon to fucking Joseph, I would have been well fucked off. What have you?
Well,
I mean, you've got previous now. You've already fucking seen fucking little green men falling from the sky.
Well, no, we was driving over my nan's on Christmas. I suppose we must have stayed around my nan's this year, like, you know, and I must have been, I don't know, like, you know, that age.
Yeah.
And we was driving over my nan's in Aveley.
For a country lane? No street lights.
Yeah, and I saw a future version of myself parked in a lay-by and just some bloke wanking in the bushes. What's that man doing at the end of that car? And
let me mind.
It was clearly a fucking plane. But you know, when a kid, you just want to believe, and I'm going like, but there's a red light at the front of it. Planes don't have a red light at the front of it. Like, it's got to be. It's got to be. He's delivering the presents. Yeah.
Can you remember like finding out that Father Christmas weren't real?
No, I don't remember, but I remember kind of knowing, but not, you know, but going through all the process with your mum and dad, and sort of, because they weren't sure whether you knew or not. But I must have been quite old, like 26.
Mates at college were just like...
Yeah, me workmates, so no, but... The other blokes on site, you know.
You believe, right?
Do you remember then?
I remember, like, the one Christmas where I was thinking it was too cool to believe in Father Christmas, but kind of not wanting to throw it out there.
Just in case it didn't come, yeah.
And it was really weird because, I experienced that with my kids as well, you know, them just like, oh, he don't exist though, does he?
Yeah,
like, you know, just wanting you to go, no, of course he don't, but like, and no parent's ever going to go, no,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, and it is, Christmas is rubbish, isn't it? Unless it was like in the 80s when you was a kid.
Yeah, I went to one of them, you know, one of them fucking things where you have like a Father Christmas experience with me little nephew.
Yeah.
And I reckon he must have been seven or eight. And he sort of pulled me to one side and he went, nah, you know, none of this is real.
What?
And I went, what? Right? He went, yeah, you know, none of this is real. He said, the bloke we're about to see, he's just an actor employed by Father Christmas because he can't obviously be around all these places. Right.
Gotcha.
I'm like, oh, right. I'm like, well, just, you know, just humour him so Father Christmas don't find out.
Yeah, definitely.
But I love that. Like, you know, yeah, I've got a secret for you.
I'll let you in or something here. Oh, how lovely is that? But yeah, I do remember, like, thinking, especially, like, coming downstairs and seeing, and it almost, it, you know, and I'm not just saying that because it makes me sound like I was spoiled, but coming downstairs and it feeling like there was a massive bundle of presents because everything was big in the 80s and big boxes.
Yeah.
And like, I remember just thinking, oh my God. And like, and honestly thinking, like, he's been.
Yeah.
And like, and seeing that half eaten mince pie and that empty glass of whiskey or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Just thinking, oh fucking hell. Like, he's been in my house.
Yeah.
Like, Father Christmas has been in my house.
It was that phrase, he's been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and I remember just hollering that on Christmas, he's been. He's been.
Oh, I wish I still believed.
Oh, no. Like, fundamentally, everything else in life is a massive fucking disappointment, isn't it, once you, after that. Like, the idea there's...
Do you think that's the beginning and the end?
We might as well end on that, because that's where we fucking started off, wasn't it? Merry Christmas, war is over.
Imagine there's no Christmas.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.
Just a little reminder.
Boris Johnson is a fucking cunt. He's a fucking cunt. He's a fucking cunt.
That's www.borisjohnson.info.
Let's give the fucking cunt a Christmas to remember. Have a good one yourself. Laters.